Mr. Walker, Real 3. We were talking about when you'd landed in France, you were with headquarters, couldn't still, with the A Echelon, I believe. Were you doing much in that for before the fighting started as A Echelon?
No, it was more or less done like 2 weeks to go for.
Now, in the first battle, that's the attack, you know, the Operation Epsom, they call it, 26th of June onwards. What was your role in that action? I mean, as reserve drivers and, of course, as A Echelon, what were you doing?
I was driving a manual truck.
And what would be on board the... what was, which type of truck was it, and what would be on board it?
It was a new one.
How many tons? How many tonner?
Three.
And what would you load aboard it, and where would you get it from?
We, A Echelon, went back to B Echelon, to load, and,
would you actually transship it from their lorries to your lorries, or would you just take their lorry?
No, it was all shifted.
You shifted the
yeah,
ammunition?
Shifted all back to back and just carrying it through to
And what would you carry? What would a load be?
Well, it was ammunition for the gunnery.
So you'd have
shells,
high explosive, and
yeah,
and armour, piercing. And what about machine gun? For
yeah,
the
machine gun and ammo.
Anything else? Would you get many shells aboard? I mean, was it stacked up?
Yeah.
Were the shells just loose, or were they in a packing?
They're in containers.
What were they contained?
Mm.
Wooden.
Yeah, to start with.
So your job, you'd pick up and you'd go and transship the ammunition from the B Echelon, and then what would you do then?
And forward, we followed the fighting fleet.
How closely?
Within firing range.
So, a mile or so behind. And what do you remember of the fighting, when, you know, the attack on Show? That's all right. But what about the lager? Because they'd have a lager at night, wouldn't it? Could you explain what a lager was and then what you'd do as A Echelon?
Echelon. The quartermaster, and he was responsible for finding the lager, a place for the lager. And at night, we all moved in, some vehicles in the centre, and other vehicles all around the like what the old cavalry used to do. I think that's where it all came from. And then we moved in at last light, and out at first light. Then we had to go during the night. And we replenished and serviced everything during the night.
Now, would you do just the headquarter squadron tanks, or would you do
every... Each squadron has their own thing.
So you were headquarters squadron, so you did the headquarters squadron tanks.
Yeah.
And the reconnaissance troop?
They were HQ.
So you do them as well?
They were in HQ, but there was a certain section, they had different tanks. They had small, faster tanks.
Honeys?
Honeys and grants.
So you did you have the ammunition for them as well?
Yes.
And how would you, I mean, what would you do to replenish them? I mean, would the crew come to you, or would you go to the crew, or what happened?
We went round and saved the lager, and each bank that replenished the pressure plant, rations, you know, the ration truck.
So you'd pass the ammunition into the tank, where it'd be stored in the turret and the ammunition containers. And so you'd do that every night, basically. You'd meet them at a lager and replenish them. And Do you remember anything? There's not much you remember about the first battles, and you that's Epsom. You just remember going to the lager, and you didn't switch over to being a tank driver at that time, and then. And when was that? That's okay. So then the next period.
It was during the period from past journey, because that's when I landed in hospital.
Right. So the next there was a sort of lull between Epsom and Goodwood, and then what do you remember of Goodwood? The actual big battle, the 17th, 18th, 19th of July, when half the a good deal of the regiment was wiped out. What do you remember of what you were doing during that? Because you, as rear echelon, you'd not see much of the fighting, even as A echelon, you wouldn't see much of it. What do you remember of those days? You just followed behind. Yeah. What could you see of the battlefield?
Well, I didn't see much of it, anyway.
Were there many burnt out Sherman about, for a start?
Yeah. Well, there was quite a few burnt out. You didn't all lose their trees. We had one lad. He lost 8 tanks in one day, and he's still living after that. He's dead now.
A lot of them got out.
Yeah.
And
the drivers were the boss. They're getting out.
Why was that?
The way the tank was built.
The turret sometimes covered the hatch, you mean?
Yeah.
Now, what about the lager that night? Because there was a bombing raid as well that night, wasn't there? Yeah. Do you remember that? Was it on the bit you were in, or was it on
I was in another sports unit, wasn't it? Sports unit,
remember. Now, the next period, there was the fast advance. Well, there was. They moved round to the other wing, and then they advanced through to Amiens. Yeah. What do you remember of that bit? Because I think you were wounded in that period round about Veer, weren't you?
Yeah.
What do you remember of that?
Yeah, I think that's
going to move into
helping the
Yanks. That sounds right, yeah.
But, I think we went with the Yanks at that time.
And what were you doing when you were wounded? Were you on the transport or were you on the
tank?
When you were put on the tanks, when was that? How did you come to be put on the tanks, and which squadron were you put into?
Still
HQ squadron. So you were put onto an HQ squadron tank. And who was your crew? And who was running your tank? You were put in as a driver. Do you remember any of your crew? Or the tank commander? Sergeant Bayliss. That's okay. Now, how did you get on as a tank crew? I know you can't remember the names now, but was it a close relationship with the crew?
Well, all crews were close. Even in the echelon, we were all close. You know, you didn't have special meetings, you know, all together.
How did you get on with the mixed crews, with the English? Some of the crews were Scots English, some were Scots, some were all English. Did that bother you in any way?
No, I've never known any animosity. We were all there for one job to do, and that was it.
So you weren't interested in any of that?
Yeah.
And what do you remember of your experiences when you were driving the tank? I mean, you can't see a lot from a tank, so, you know, but what do you remember of what life was like?
Very easy. just got told, there we go. We went.
What was it like driving the tank? Is it noisy or hot in there? I mean, what's it like inside?
Well, it was cool because the shadows had the engine at the back. You were drawing all the cold air into the front.
So even in summer it was quite cool, cold? How noisy was it? Do you remember any of the fighting you were in as a tank? I mean, any incidents from that?
No, the part when I was in, pretty much fighting.
Mainly advancing. And how did you progress along the road? I mean, would you just go? Did you take it in turns for someone to go first, or how did you go?
Well, you know, you were only in tank for so long, and then you drew back.
Did you worry about mines, or were you aware of the risk of mines?
Well, we were aware of them, but the worst damage it could do was break the track and remove it, and then you're a certain type.
What about bazookas? Were they a known threat by then? Had they come in?
Not at that stage.
Minenwerfer? Moaning Minis?
Oh,
sorry, not Minenwerfer. They're, what were they like?
That was very important.
Nebelwerfer, I meant, sorry. So, what do you remember then? What's the next thing you remember of the advance? You were advancing towards a fast advance through the Falaise Gap and then onto Amiens.
I think we moved to here.
How were you wounded the first time? Because I think that's...
A bit sharp.
How'd that happen? Was that when you were a tank crew?
Yeah.
And do you know where you were?
Yeah. No.
Were you taken away or were you treated in the regiment?
I was in
hospital. How bad was it? It's a flesh wound?
Yeah.
Didn't break the bone?
No. 12 stitches. 12 stitches.
And how long were you in hospital?
10 days.
And then back to the unit?
Yeah.
And where were they when you rejoined them, or what time was it? It's all right. What's the next thing you do remember? They were advancing through France and on through to Belgium. Where?
Pier. P E E R.
What happened there?
Got mixed up with German troops during the night. When daylight came, a German convoy and air convoy.
All mixed up. You were back to transport then, were you?
Yeah.
So after you were wounded, you went back to the transport?
Yeah.
So what happened then?
There was transport all the time.
What happened when you found yourself mixed up with the Germans?
Well, they gave up.
They surrendered?
Yeah, they surrendered. And we were there for 2 days, I think, in the first period. And I remember a German horse going on three horses they got killed, and the villagers were out with knives cutting it up, shooting it. And we got invited to the house that night. It was lovely meat, purified meat. And I just happened to ask what it was. Paired. And found out later it was Russian.
Anything else about you were moving into Belgium and Holland? Anything particular? If it's just routine duties, that's fine.
I was just routine. Remember, we stopped at Helmand. There were 2 nights there along the canal bike.
And you were still in the ammunition truck?
Yeah. Shortly after that, I moved as the quartermaster's driver.
Now, who was the quartermaster at that time?
John Blakey.
And what was he like?
He served in the First World War in the Navy. And he was a bit sick. He was sitting in the front of the barber truck making tea, you know. Just lay up a cigarette. They put me on a charge. Smoking cigarettes from the east. As a bird doesn't go. Nothing came out of it, right? But I was just this sort of desperate. I was a great old guy, really.
What was that was one thing that was bad about? What was good about him?
If we're stopping, he'd get his tunic off and help you to dig his slip trench beside the vehicle. Nobody else of rank did that. That was the driver's job. They joined him with his sleeves up and knocked in.
And you admired that. What was he like as a quartermaster, do you think? What was a quartermaster's job then?
Charge of the stores. And the pay. And he went to the first conference at night in the library from Barton. He got advanced information from him. He's just like one of the lads. He did this way we ever going to be.
And what about the relationship? He was quartermaster, and then there'd be the regimental quartermaster sergeant, and then the squadron quartermaster sergeant. So who were they? Do you remember any of them? I think Tommy Wilmot was one.
He was a shoe squadron at that.
So you'd see a fair...
about that thing, all these songs came together in HQ. That's been the first night.
What did you think of him?
I thought he was a wee bit bloody down at first, but turned out all right. He'd been a banker, and I used to get to see him before I knew him. He was thought himself better than us, but it worked out that I would roll.
And what about the RQMS, what was he? Who, do you remember who he was?
Tommy Parson.
Patterson. What was he like?
He was all right. He went to school with me. So he's very good.
The same age as you then?
Yeah.
And was he a good RQMS?
Yes.
And what was your job as driver then to Blakey?
I was his assistant.
As well?
Yeah.
And what did you do? What would your typical day be like for you?
I checked what stock was like. You know, you stuff was dished out whatever they needed. And then in the morning, I checked to see what had been given out.
Now, where was the stock held?
In the vehicles.
And how many vehicles would you have?
Sion, Sheepel, Kutzlager.
So you'd physically check what was, so you'd check what ammunition you had, what petrol, what stores, what was on the cook's truck. You'd just go around and check it. Would you go with him, or would he send you, or would you?
No,
he'd send me. So you'd come back.
I got my first aid for that way.
So you made corporal?
Yeah.
And sorry, yes. And so you check what when you so you'd tell him what was in, what you'd got, and then what would happen?
Well, I had the list. What we were needing. I just handed it to him.
So you would know what you should have, and if there wasn't, you know, if you had too few armour.
Well, I'd say I left at night with 100. There were only 50 left. When I did my next check, that was 50 or whatever.
So you'd order it?
Yeah, we always get.
And where would you get it from?
It come up. We went back to B echelon for that.
Because this was A echelon you were in. And B echelon.
No, I was in England echelon when it was the jungle.
And what was the difference between A and A1?
A1 was just a small echelon. One amateur. One petrol truck.
So you'd check that, but would you check the A echelon as well to see what they've got? No. Someone else would check that.
Yeah.
And you, so you'd get the stuff from the A1 or B echelon depending on what. And then you'd follow quite close behind them then, as you said, with the A1. Now, anything particular happened, any incidents happened during this time that you remember?
I remember going up to Hill 116, the 7th of August. That was my wedding anniversary. And that Mark Pritchard, I told you it was my mate. I went up to see him, John Blackie, the general officer. And, is reported missing. Just nothing on him in time. And he's still not might be found in there. Still on the memorial over there. Reported missing.
You were with Blakey already by August?
Pardon?
Were you with Blakey then already? Yeah. In August? When was the tank bit then? You're a bit confused about that. I'll leave. It's all right. Any other recollections?
Remember going to Yeatley.
Now you went there twice, didn't you? Once you dropped the Shermans off, and
I
then
dropped the Shermans off at Brussels, and come back to Yeatley to get the comets. And then the jury broke through in the Ardennes, went back to Brussels, picked up the Shermans, went up. Into the Ardennes. We stopped at Christmas in Namur. And we're all invited into the houses in Namur. And next morning in the evening, we get petrol delivered by Bowser, by that thing, by the Americans.
What's a Bowser?
Petrol tank. And wait to move, and they filled the tanks up with water.
With water?
Yeah, they must have fogged the petrol in the way up. So we couldn't move. So we were stuck there. And that's when the leaves started. I was one of the lucky ones to get picked for the leaf. And we've taken part in the infantry to Hanover, I think it was, and then got on the train at Hanover.
That's in Germany, yeah.
Germany.
It's all right, no problem. So you went back on leave. What was your leave like?
For coming here, it took us 4 days to get to the port. And then we sailed at night to Hook of Holland to Harwich. And then we come up home by train, going back. We got stopped by an air raid. Mr. Boat, so we had to hang about Harwich till the next night, till we got another boat back. And then we were 4 days going back up to
doesn't matter.
They were in Battle of the Bulge had been sorted out by this day.
They would be in Ypres then, I think. They went back to Ypres, didn't they?
Yeah. I went back to Ypres.
Did you enjoy your leave, or did it make it...
Well, I was worried at that time. That's where I was mentioning about water putting the beetles at room. Because I was there, my downstairs anyway. At that time, and we got up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Really, we bought the news and all the tanks were on real transport. The engineers had been out the time we were local leave at that time. The last one
now, what about? After Ypres, at Ypres, how did you get on with the Belgians there? What, from the First World War?
Yeah.
And what about the Comet tanks? You got the Comets there. What were they like? You wouldn't drive them, would you?
Oh, of course I know.
What did you think of them compared to the Sherman?
Like a limited. Different build of tank. Easier to handle. Accommodation was better.
More room, you mean?
Yeah. We also had a battery charger in there at night. Didn't need to start the tank up every so often to keep the battery charged up. It's the same as what they use for charging boat batteries and these little machines you see that the market's still got that one.
A little generator?
Yeah. It has a meaning. But that's what it was, the generator.
And the next thing, you went up to cross the Rhine, and what do you remember of that, the actual crossing? You'd be driving your off Blakey, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I remember getting held up at Doon.
At where?
Doon. That's just across the river. You were held up there with a bridging company, and there was an engineer in Antwerp, we knew about this old road, and it was unguarded. The sheriffs didn't think it was worthwhile, or they didn't know about it. But anyway, we came across, and well, a letter there, and told them about this old bridge. So they sent the heaviest vehicle. I think it was a bridge in town. To go over the bridge. And it held the weight of that vehicle. So we all went carefully over this bridge. Come into Antwerp from behind and captured Antwerp.
That's the capture of Antwerp. It's a bit before, but that's interesting, yeah. What about the Rhine, when you went across the Rhine? It's when you moved into Germany itself.
Yeah.
That's March 1945. For you, was it just another part that?
I remember going across a pontoon bridge.